The story of Jesus. Lecture 16. Monumental statement. It is done unto you according to your belief, and be perfect even as God is perfect. It is done unto us according to our belief. That's a very interesting statement to make. It's one of the primary statements that Jesus gave to us, and it's one of the statements that is used again and again and again by theologians, by ministers, by priests, by teachers all over the world, because it puts the responsibility squarely upon the individual. Now, are you a spiritual person? And that's a good question. Are you a spiritual person? If you are a spiritual person, then what happens? If you are a spiritual person, then you are totally in charge of yourself. You are totally in charge of your life. You're totally in charge of every experience that goes on in your world. If you are a spiritual person, you are totally responsible. Now, if you're a human person, you try to throw the responsibility on someone else. You try to throw the responsibility for anything that goes on in your world, anything that doesn't work right, on somebody else. Now, let's just take a simple human experience, one that Edith is so angry about and so upset about and so uptight about. She's just chomping at the bit about this. And that's what's called a virus. Viruses get onto computers, and viruses get into software systems, and viruses get everywhere. Now, why? Why didn't we have viruses years ago when computers were first starting out? Well, we say people didn't develop them at that time. Why is it some people don't have viruses? Because they have their systems set up in such a way that they have protected themselves from viruses. Well, why is it that some viruses are able to be controlled and others seemingly not able to be controlled? Why is it that some viruses can be so terrible and so destructive that they keep you from getting any work done? And then why is it the same people, not the same people, but why is it people doing the same type of work in another place are not disturbed by the viruses? Why is it the viruses are not concerning people who are working with one type of software or another? This is all a matter of it is done unto us according to our belief. Now, Ada, when you turn on your computer each day, do you say, I surround this computer with my pure white light of love, all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness? Do you tell your computer that you love it? Do you tell your software that you love it? You tell your software that it is divinely designed to do wonderful and great and beautiful things, and that you surround it with your love, you surround it with your joy, you surround it with your peace, and so it is. And then so it is. Now, do you do that? And the answer is no. Some people do. You do it? Great, good for you. She's a good student, I tell you. And now, do you have a lot of trouble with your computer? No. And you are working on professional computers with professional programs and for the government too? My goodness sake, how does she do that? Does she have some great white father up there who loves her and protects her and keeps her from all viruses? Yes, she does. But it's not up there. It's in here, inside of herself. She has put the cause in motion for the experience that she wants to have, okay? And so she experiences it. Now, Edith, are there any other areas in your life that you might put the cause in motion so that you could experience it? How about your cooking? Is your cooking always exquisite? And she wrinkles her nose and says, we're working on that. Well, when you start wrapping your cooking in your pure white light of love, you see, you start wrapping your cooking in your divine reality, it'll be equally perfect, just like your computer. And then when you you have a few friends that come and visit you often, and you share with them, and sometimes they're a little pushy, and sometimes they're a little gentle, and sometimes they're whatever. And you like them best when they are sensitive, caring people. And so, what does she do? It's done unto her according to her belief. And so she says, ah, yes, I know that. I know that. So she said, I am surrounded by beautiful people, harmonious, loving, and joyous. I am surrounded by beautiful people, loving, harmonious, and joyous. I'm surrounded by beautiful people, loving, harmonious, and joyous. And all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness. You see, when you're surrounded by beautiful people who are loving, peaceful, and joyous, who are a joy to have around, you created them. You created them. When you go out on the street and you know that it's time to go to work and you're in a busy city, do you expect the street to be empty? If you go out on the street and it's empty, you think something's wrong. But why not go out on the street and have it be virtually empty? It's the pause between the next rush. And you walk out there gently, you have the whole street to yourself, the whole city to yourself, and you just look out there and just soak in the joy and the beauty of that peaceful quietness. And then you get to your office, you step in your office door, and then the world starts going again on the outside. But meanwhile, you have had a peaceful journey. Now, can that work? Can you be in control of that? And you are. You are in control of that. It's by your choice, done unto you according to your belief. Now, can everyone do that? Can everyone do that? If anyone comes to me with a complaint or with a problem, I say to them, say that all is in divine order now. That's too easy. I don't want that to be so easy. I want it to be harder. I say, okay. Say that everything is not in divine order. You know? Well, that's stupid. You know, who wants to say that? Well, who wants to say everything is in divine order? Everybody who wants everything in divine order is going to say everything is in divine order. That's the cause they're going to put in motion. That's the reality that they want. That's the, it's done unto you according to your belief. What belief do you have? Do you have the belief that the world is at war? Huh. Why? That's a dumb thing, isn't it? Do you have a belief there's poverty someplace? Or there's sickness? Or there's problems? Why empower it? Say, all is in divine order. In all the world. Well, what if some people want unhappiness and they want sadness and they want those things? Hey, anyone can have anything they want out of your awareness. When you walk into a room and there's a big argument going on in there and a big fight going on in there and everybody's unhappy with everybody else, you walk in that room and you are pure love, you are unconditional love. You walk in that room and that room is instantly at peace, and I am not kidding you. We'll use this silly illustration. The Queen of England walks into a room and everybody instantly genuflects and says, hello, your worship, hello, you know, hi, Queenie, or whatever they say. But the thing, they respect her. They respect her because she doesn't respect herself, right?
Yes, she respects herself.
Oh. They respect her because she respects herself. She knows she is the queen. She knows she has a role to play, and she likes the role to play, and so she comes walking in the room just like she is somebody important, which she is, and she looks around and sees everyone doing important things and being important people because she's important. She doesn't see anyone unhappy with the other. She doesn't see any arguments. She doesn't see any disagreements of any kind because she's playing the game of pretending she's the queen. Now, is she really the queen? Yes, she is, just by the way. But she also is pretending. Now, Princess Diane, did she pretend that she was a princess?
Yeah.
And what? But?
She did not pretend.
What?
Yes, she did.
What?
She did pretend.
She pretended she was a princess. But also, she was a princess. And because she pretended she was a princess, everybody responded to her as a princess. Now, are there people who are not princesses and pretend they're princesses? What do they call them? What do you call people like that? Who speak loudly if you want.
Imposter.
Exactly. They're imposters. But do they appear so much like a princess that you think they're the princess? Yes. Have you ever seen what they call lookalikes, you know? Now, could anyone look alike Diane, Princess Diane? Sure. And could they walk in with that sort of a unconditional love for everybody and that feeling of magnificence for everybody, feeling that the world is wonderful and everybody in it is wonderful, and respecting everybody like she respects herself? Yeah. Now, it's done unto her according to her belief. Now, when would the imposter be found out? The imposter would be found out when the imposter didn't believe that they were the princess any longer. The moment they ceased believing they were the princess, the moment they did one little thing that was not harmonious with what the princess would do. You see? Now, My Fair Lady, remember that? And she was trained to be a lady. She was trained to be very dignified, but she'd fall back into her old ways occasionally. And when she'd fall back in her own ways, she was pretty rough. But she was a gorgeous lady. She was beautiful. She had class. What did she have that perhaps even a lady might not have? She believed in herself. She believed in herself enough to go and work on it. She believed in herself enough to learn how to speak good English. She believed in herself to learn how to learn proper manners and proper things. Was she improper in any way for the type of person that she was?
No.
The person that she was excellent. And the person that she would be, she trained herself to be that. She acted that way. And what was the test of whether she was successful or not? What did they say the test was for her if she was successful? If she could go and appear before some real ladies and not be found out to be a false lady. You see, even when she went before these real ladies to be tested, she fell into her Cockney way and spoke in a manner that was not harmonious with the class, and many of the people who listened to her said, "Wow, you got personality. You know, you can say anything you want and it sounds good, you know," even when she was saying some rather strange things. But and the men, they thoroughly loved her because they thought, "Here's a woman who is really, you know, in charge of herself, not one of these dainty damsels that drops their handkerchief and things like that." But you see, when Princess Diane does anything, she does it out of who she is. Now, had she always been a princess? No. You say yes? Now, isn't that an interesting statement? She says, Princess Diane, let's say Diane, Diana was always a princess. Do you think she was always a princess?
Yes, because she cannot become something that she is not already.
Would you like to read? The story of Jesus. Well, whatever. Go ahead, say it.
Because she cannot become something which she is not already.
Princess Diane, that is Diane, could not become a princess if she were not already a princess. And if she were not a princess, she never could become a princess. If they tried to make her into a princess, she might play the role, but she would never have the winning ways that Princess Diane had. Is the Queen Mother, is the Queen Elizabeth, is she the same personality that Diana is?
No.
Why is she not the same personality? She is a professional queen. She is not a beloved queen. Her people don't love her. They don't call her beloved queen. Now, Queen Wilhelmina, they called a beloved queen. And the queen of the Netherlands, they call her a beloved queen because she cares about her people and she cares about the world and she cares about her role as a queen. But Queen Elizabeth cares about her professional picturing of being a queen instead of just going in there and being her own beautiful, fabulous self. You follow them? Now, that makes a problem sometimes, doesn't it? That makes a problem. What is she going to do? How is she going to handle this? She's being herself and having fun. She is, what do we say here, it is done unto her according to her belief. Does she believe that she is a beloved queen? No. Does she believe that she is a good queen? Yes. Does she believe that she is professionally correct? Yes. But does she believe she's beloved? And you see, that is a big thing. I, on virtually all my writings to everybody, I write beloved, and I put their name down. Now, I say it to people I don't even know, and I say it to business people, and I'm sure that the business people think, what kind of character is this? Writing to me, beloved, like a man writing to another man, my beloved friend, you know, and or not friend, but my beloved John or something. And he's saying, what are you trying to do? Make time with me or something? And when we can live in the consciousness of being beloved and believe it, no one will misunderstand it. No one will misunderstand what we are saying or why we are saying it or in any way that we are saying it. You understand? So this is why this is so important for us right here. It is done unto us according to our belief. What is our real belief for ourselves? Our real belief for ourselves is that we are good, beautiful, happy, harmonious people. Our real belief for ourselves is that we are independently wealthy. Our real belief for ourselves is that we live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. Our real belief for ourselves is whatever affirmations we are putting into motion for ourselves and living. And unfortunately, people put affirmations in motion and they don't realize they're doing it. They don't pay attention to it. Is it going to rain? I hope not. You hope not? Is everyone happy? I hope so. You hope so? You know. How is the food at the party? Is everyone enjoying the food at the party? Well, it's kind of bad. Well, if it is bad food, put it away and let's send out for some more. Well, we paid a lot of money for that food. You know, we can't just put it away. Well, you want to have people unhappy with the food you got? Send out for a dozen pizzas, you know, and make everybody happy. Well, I can't do that because I spent so much money on my hors d'oeuvres and, you know, lobsters and all this stuff. If people don't want it, dump it. Because if you do not believe in what you're doing, then you will not be successful. It is done unto you according to your belief. Did you believe that food was going to be good and beautiful? Well, it was expensive. That's what I thought. You thought that food was going to be expensive. You didn't think it was going to be good and beautiful and wonderful. You see, this is very subtle in our back of our mind. It's expensive, you know. And I went to a lot of bother for that. And I put up with a lot of nonsense for that. And I had to wait, you know, and wait in line. And I had a call and I had to do this and that. And you see, all of that anger, all of that uptightness gets into the food, so to speak. And what was supposed to be a lovely gesture, a lovely party, turns out to be ptomaine poisoning, you know. It's a stupid thing, but it is what we do. It is what we do. Whenever food is served and the table manners and the table activities are unhappy, the food is not digested well, and everybody gets indigestion after eating it. Immediately, why do you say grace at meals? This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And so it is. And no matter what it is, it's filled with love. They might have served it with all of the uptightness that they had because things didn't go well for them or because they didn't get the help they were supposed to have in preparing it and things like that. And so they might have been, but you take charge. And you bless that food. And you say it is filled with love and healthy for my body. You say that. You empower that. You don't empower anything that went before. Lots of terrible things. If the table leg broke and the food all fell on the floor and they had to scrape it up from the floor and put it back on the plates and And so if you don't know that, and they put it on the plates nicely and then they put the plates out and you say this food is filled with love, you know, it'll be filled with love. It doesn't matter. And you say, how come there's corn in the in the salad, or how come the ice cream is mixed up with the potatoes or something? You say, well, we're trying some new recipe. Now, really, you have to shut up. You who know what happened have to not be present, because if you're present, you're gonna. You're going to communicate that information that you have. And when you don't know those things, it doesn't hurt you. Now, we ate in Nigeria and Ghana and Guyana, and especially Nigeria, and we were served, they had no tables in their kitchens. They cooked on the floor. And you can be sure that things fell on the floor occasionally, but they didn't have far to go. But the sanitation was totally different from what we're familiar with. And they cooked with good heat, and so they probably burned up most of the germs or whatever they may be. But Ellen and I and Ingeborg were down there, and we ate what they had. We didn't eat a large amount, but we ate, and any amount is enough, you know. If it is bad food, any amount is going to get to you. So we blessed each meal that we had. We said the table blessing, and then they all said it with us. I surround this, how's it go? This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Oh, you do know it. So this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And then they all said, yeah, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And a whole different attitude came out of the group. And we ate, and everything was great. And we had fish eyes and fish heads, you know, and fish whatevers, and chicken. And it was all perfectly good food. It was part of their normal diet. And it was just something that we weren't familiar with, you know. And so we had to swallow once or twice and then go on. But it was great. I can understand why they like to drink soft drinks with their meals, because it does help to put it away. But I know they'll hear this tape too, and they'll say, what are you talking about, our meals, you know? Hey, you come to America and our meals would probably be just as interesting to you as your meals are to us. And it's true. I know we have Sam Sasu coming here from Ghana, and as he comes here, yeah, Ghana, Ghana, and Ghana and Guyana and Nigeria, they're all fun. And he comes here and he tells me, I am a vegetarian and I am an Ayurveda person and I am this and that and the other thing. And then we go out and we have a beautiful stir-fried rice with chicken and shrimp and all the other good things in it. He said, hey, this is real good. And I said, yeah, I love it. And then we stopped for a pizza with everything on it, salami and ham and what have you. And they love it. But the thing is, when in Rome, do like the Romans do. When he goes back home, he goes back to his very special diet, which is very charming to him and very handy to him. And it's great. But now, he doesn't die when he's eating our stuff up here. And he could have things much like he's familiar with having them down there. But he feels he'll just try it out. And he sits at the table here at the ranch, and we serve him with our various styles of service. And he just digs right in and enjoys it with us. But you see, he is in charge. He surrounds that food with his pure white light of love. He surrounds that food with all the goodness that's in him. And this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And it is. Now, what about you? Are you the master? Are you the creator of your world? Are you the one who sets everything in motion? Can you eat anything or everything or nothing? You know? Sometimes when you're just not up to someone else's diet, you just say, I really have no great desire for anything to eat right now. And so you go without eating for a couple of days or a week. It's a big deal, you know? Big deal. But you stand up for your principle, whatever it may be. And if you say, hey, I prefer, the veggies look so great, you know. Well, they were made with ham sauce. You know? Well, thanks a lot. or I like that peanut butter. Well, it was made with, what is the bad stuff? Hydrogenated oils and stuff like that. And we have to ask Dodie about that. She's our expert for what we shouldn't eat because it's bad for us. And Dodie eats that stuff just like it's going out of style. And when she goes home, then she gets on her diet. But when she comes here, she just eats whatever we serve and finds it most salubrious, most desirable, and she's just the happiest girl in the world. But you see, this is what is for all of us. It's what's for all of us now. What is it that's for you? What is it that's for you to live your life in a most harmonious way? How is it done unto you according to your belief? What is your belief? Now, you know the good stuff, and you know the bad stuff, but you just look at your life, and if there's anything in your life that you don't like, if there's anything in your life that makes you unhappy, stop and think about it and say, I put that cause in motion for that to happen. I caused that to be. I caused that situation to take place in my life. I am the one in charge. You understand? Mm-hmm. And then, instead of blaming somebody else, you don't blame anybody. You just stop putting that cause in motion. And then the circumstances completely change. When you're ready for that, you can have it. When you're not ready for it, you can't have it. But this is one of the powerful things that Jesus taught. And very few people have understood it. Very few people have paid much attention to it. They want to go into the more esoteric type things, more mystical things and what have you. And the foundation of all truth is so simple, and it's ready for us to be learned. It's ready for us to make ours. It's ready for us to enjoy. But we have to take that step. Now we have another statement here. Be perfect even as God is perfect. In the Bible, Jesus says, be ye perfect therefore even as is your Father which art in heaven perfect. And he's saying this to his disciples, he's saying this to his followers, he's saying this to people who listen. And how can anyone be perfect if they don't think that they're perfect? How can anyone be perfect if they don't believe that what they're doing is correct? Now, do you believe what you're doing is correct? Do you believe that everything you do is correct? Do you think that you're following the rules of the game? Do you think that you're following the laws of your community? Do you think that you're sincere in every way? Well, if you like yourself, and you like what you do, then yes, you're correct. But if you don't like yourself and you don't like what you do, then you're lying to yourself. See? Mm-hmm. And when you lie to yourself, you're very foolish. You're very foolish, because when you lie to yourself, what you're doing is just making an excuse for what you're not having. You want to have a happy home. And so you say, my wife or my husband is not agreeable. Our family just does not do things together. We never spend much time. The kids come in the house and zip in and eat and then zip out again. And they're here and they're there. And they don't cooperate in keeping up the house. A dozen other possibilities are going on around here. My husband is spending a lot of time at the office because he finds it so harmonious. And I don't see too much of him at home. And when I do see him at home, he's got problems. He's got all sorts of anxieties that are giving him a lot of headache and what have you. And, hey, that's cool, isn't it? That's done unto you according to your belief. Now, what kind of family do you have? I have a family of unconditional lovers. Lovers! And when my daughter comes in the house, the first thing she wants to do is say, Mom, you're the greatest! And she gives me a big, smoochy, sloppy kiss, you know. But I love it. When my son comes in the house, he says, Mom, where are you? I got to tell you. And he tells me the latest happening in his life. And then he gives me a big hug without any prompting. He gives me a big hug. And he says, you know, Mom, you're all right. And then he goes about his business. And then your husband comes in. And as he comes in, he's kind of bedraggled. He didn't get along well with the office staff today for some reason or another, or whoever he's working with. And so he's got a problem. And so he comes in, and you notice that he is not on tippy-top. And so you say to him, you know, I'm sure glad I married you. You are so wonderful. You make me feel so secure, so happy, so joyful. You're just wonderful. And then turn away quickly. And then a few minutes later, come back and say, man, you know, everywhere you go, you must change the world. You must change life, because people must look at you and say, wow, what a great guy you are. You know, would I be happy to be married to you? Wow, would that be great? You know, would I like it if you were my dad or my mom, you know, wouldn't that be great? Well, you see, when you start thinking those things, when you start thinking those things about your family and yourself, those things begin to take place in your life. Those things begin to reveal themselves in your life. But until you change your thought, until you put that positive attitude in motion, you haven't got anything. You have lost it all. Okay. It is done unto you according to your belief. Be perfect even as God is perfect. What does it mean to be perfect like God is perfect? God is perfect. God is the ideal. God is the isness, the allness, and that sort of stuff. But is God the rainstorm? Sure. Is God the gully washer? Mm-hmm. Is God the gentle falling rain that moistens all the earth and brings up the beautiful crops and so forth? Mm-hmm. Well, why do we call God as a gully washer, not very nice, and God as a gentle falling rain to bring up the crops? Why do we call that nice? Both should be nice. You see, we judge so often, and we judge so deeply, that we hurt ourselves. We keep from ourselves all the good things that we could have. And how do we get that back into shape for ourselves? How do we get that back into line? We get it back into line for ourselves when we begin to put the right cause in motion. You see, if we're supposed to be perfect like God is perfect, and we are God, if we're supposed to be perfect like God is perfect, then we have to decide what kind of perfection we want. Do we want beneficial perfection, or do we want perfection that is in everything? A broken leg, perfect. A broken heart, perfect. A happy heart, perfect. Or whatever. You see, these are all things that we sometimes don't pay attention to, and then we don't get the experience. Now, how do we have that? We have that by constantly putting the cause in motion. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am surrounded by my ideal friends. I am surrounded by my ideal circumstances. Everything in my life functions in its perfect right way. When we put these statements into motion, we bring that about. We return to our original purity and integrity. You see, be ye perfect even as is God. So, if God is perfect, why are we not expressing that perfection if we're God? And we are God, and we are perfect, and we are expressing it. But we sometimes are expressing that other aspect, the aspect of the unbeneficial. It's just as big and just as real an illusion as the beneficial. The beneficial things can be real illusions, and the unbeneficial things can be real illusions. Which illusion do you want? And you're welcome to have either, and either is correct. Both are God. Both are good. Both are the allness. Both are the isness. And you say, well, why would God bring death unto people with a volcano spewing out all over them, you know, destroying their homes, destroying their city, destroying... Why would God do that? That's terrible for God to do that, you know? That's terrible. Well, is it terrible? What do the people think? What do the people in the village down below the volcano think? Oh, I hope it doesn't fall on us. I hope it doesn't. And then they create it going boom. When Mount Helena in northern United States here blew up a few years ago, there were people all around in their homes around the mountainside. And there's roads coming up from various ways, and people had their cabins there. Well, one man, he lived in a cabin, and he lived there for a very long time, 30 years, 40 years. And so the patrols came by and said, evacuate, leave. And he said, I will not leave my house. They said, you crazy? You know, leave your house. You can always build a new one, you know. I will not leave my house. He said, my house is surrounded by the pure white light of love, and only good comes my way. And he said, oh, come on now, be practical, leave your house. And he wouldn't leave his house. Well, the volcano blew up and went the other way. Went to the other side of the mountain. Why did it go to the other side? Who knows which side had the weakness on it, and who knows which side it would have come on? The volcano knew, and that man, he surrounded his house with his pure white light of love. And did he experience that pure white light of love? You bet. You see, he was confronted with a very difficult circumstance. If you don't get out, you're liable to get, you know, buried in lava. And perhaps some people were, but he wasn't, because he didn't say, I put the cause in motion. He didn't say, I use this eternal law. He merely said, I've been here for 30 years. I'm the pure white light of love. I surround my home that with my pure white light of love. I surround everything here with my pure white light of love. And nothing shall come nigh unto thee. These are things that the Bible has said to us over the years. These are things that the prophets have taught. These are things that Jesus has taught. These are things that everyone who speaks in a positive way has taught. And what do? They get results. And that's how the story goes down and down into history. They got results, and it works. And it works for you, too. It works for you, too. You can start thinking about what you're going to do. What you're going to do with your pure white light of love. What you're going to do with your realization that it's done unto you according to your belief. You're going to work on that. And when you work on that, you'll come up with some very exciting things. Very rewarding things, too. But it's up to you. Now think on these things, and let's see who is the first one to demonstrate it. So, take a nice pause now and enjoy yourself.
Thank you.